Welcome to Thursday. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me. Good to be with you. The fun and frivolity that is. Plenty to talk about over the next 60 minutes, give or take a few. On a couple minutes later than normal today. Final show of the week. We do the Don't Mind Me podcast, live broadcast of the show Monday through Thursday, usually, from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern, 8 a.m. if you're on the left coast like me. So I wanted to start on a bit of an upbeat note today. There's so many negative stories in sports these days that we talk about. Whether it's, we were talking about yesterday, reporters fighting with athletes, athletes barking at each other, bench clearing brawls. The Deshaun Watsons of the world, the Daniel Snyders of the world. It's a lot of negativity out there. PGA versus LIV Golf. I needed something good to talk about today. Otherwise, I might as well just do like a news podcast and have a bunch of depressing stories every day because that's what the news has become. This Mark Appel story, if you don't know who Mark Appel is, he was a former number one draft pick of the... I don't know if it was the Phillies that he was who drafted him originally, but just a month shy of his 31st birthday, at long last, Mark Appel made his major league debut Wednesday night. He was the top overall pick in the draft. 30 years old, 349 days. He left baseball for 3 years, and now he's the oldest former top overall pick from the June draft, since 1965 anyway, to make his major league debut. He was drafted, yeah, it was the Astros, that's right, because I briefly on and off collected cards back then, and Mark Appel was the draft pick, the number one overall pick by the Astros in 2013, went to the Phillies in 2015 as part of a trade, left baseball in 2018, came back to the organization 3 years later, had a great last couple of seasons in AA and AAA, and finally, Mark Appel is in the major leagues. At 30 years old. He was 5-0 at 1.61 ERA and 19 appearances over at Lehigh Valley. And Mark Appel in his major league debut got his first big league strikeout.
1-2. And a call. Strike three. First big league strikeout at 97 miles an hour.
How cool is that? Can you imagine... Think about for a second, not to proselytize here or anything like that. Can you imagine the struggle this guy had to endure for 9 years? Now, I know some of you say, well, he's playing baseball for a living. Do you know what grinding in the minor leagues is like? I do, because I spent time in the minor leagues. I was a bat boy, greatest summer of my life. 1994 for the New Haven Ravens, AA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies back then. And then I did play-by-play for a minor league baseball team back in the mid-2000s that no longer exists, much like the New Haven Ravens. Maybe I'm the death knell for minor league baseball. If I work for your minor league baseball team, you're usually in trouble. But I've seen the kind of grind these guys have to do at the minor league level. They make peanuts for money. It's not the glorious lifestyle you think it is. Yeah, they get to play baseball and get a paycheck, but it's barely a paycheck, which is why Major League Baseball is in a lot of trouble right now trying to figure out, all right, how are we going to fairly compensate these guys and not break our financial model? Having perspective and remembering even just 2-3 years ago, Appel said, even if I was just trying to come back, it's never been a straight line for me. Even in that whole process, I was lost. I felt like there were times when I was hopeless that this dream would never happen. So, yeah, I was choking back tears, talking about the feelings as he walked off the mound. I mean, this guy was one of the best pitchers in college history. Originally drafted in 2012 by the Pirates. Decided to go back to play for the Cardinal in Stanford. Then the Astros took him in 2013. One spot ahead of Chris Bryant. Think about that for a second. Chris Bryant's on the tail end of his career. And Mark Appel just made his debut. And hopefully he sticks. You never know, but hopefully he sticks. Let me do one other feel-good baseball story. It's easy to bang on Shohei Ohtani because his offensive numbers this season have dropped compared to the MVP campaign he put up last year. I mean, the reality is he's just not as good this year from a hitting perspective as he was last year. Not banging on him, not trying to get all the Angels fans up in arms at me. But Shohei Ohtani this year, hitting the baseball, has not been as good as Shohei Ohtani last year hitting a baseball. Last year, 257, 46 home runs, 100 RBIs. This year, thus far, 265, 17, 49. Still good, just not as good as last year. OPS is down, slugging is down, on-base percentage is down, batting average up a little bit. But to still watch him on a night-in, night-out basis, as a pitcher, or as a start-in, start-out basis, what this guy continues to do, at the age of 28, playing both as a starting pitcher and a position player, it really does boggle the mind. And it's easy to take it for granted now because he's been doing it for a few years. But what Ohtani is doing is not normal by today's standard in Major League Baseball. I mean, the guy is a freakish athlete. And he can run. You know, he steals bases. Last year, he stole 26 bases. I mean, he is a... And again, because the Angels sort of get drowned out in Los Angeles by the Dodgers, and rightly so, because the Angels underachieve year in and year out as a team, and the Dodgers go and buy the best team they can. Hey, look, I'm not, again, not banging on the Dodgers, just telling it like it is. They go and get the best guys. They invest in their team. I mean, how much of that Dodgers roster is homegrown? You know, you could say what you want about the Yankees and the guys they go and get, but their biggest star is a born and raised Yankee. The guy who's in line to win the MVP this year, born and raised a Yankee. But Ohtani, on the mound this year, continues to be exceptional. Last night, another example. 7-4 on the year after last night's start. 2.68 ERA in 13 starts. He's got 101 strikeouts over 74 innings. Quite simply, his month of June has been outstanding. from a hitting standpoint, basically hitting around 300 for the month of June. The power started to jump up. And from a pitching standpoint, the numbers have been exceptional in the month of June. I mean, it really is amazing. This month, Ohtani, let's see, do we have it? 1.52. 29 and two-thirds innings, 22 hits, 38 strikeouts, opponents hitting just 204 against Shohei Ohtani with a whip of under one as a starting pitcher. The only shame of it is, you know, you got two of the best and most exciting players in the game playing with the Angels. And the reality is, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees suck so much oxygen out of the room. One, you don't see as much Ohtani and Trout, Mike Trout, as you do those guys. And they play in a market where they're the second, they're on the second best team. That's problematic for baseball, that you've got two of these stars who just don't get the attention they deserve. And sure, Shohei Ohtani won the MVP last year and Trout's won it in years past. Trout's having another outstanding year. But you go look at the standings in Major League Baseball today, and it continues to be a situation where the Anaheim Angels just continue to underperform. They fired Joe Maddon earlier in the year, brought in Phil Nevin to take over, and the team is still, you know, third place, four games under 500 after they got off to a fast start, playing 500 baseball over the last couple of weeks. It's tough. And they're in a division where, you know, some of these younger teams are starting to get better. Seattle continues to play well. Texas is starting to play better baseball. And Julio Rodriguez is, right now, got to be the favorite for Rookie of the Year out in Seattle. And Houston just continues to be Houston. George Springer leaves, whatever. Carlos Correa leaves, we'll replace him with Jeremy Peña. And Houston's 20 games over 500. And they basically played the Yankees to a draw, arguably the best team, no, forget arguably, the best team in baseball. Chew on this for a second. The Red Sox have done all this battling to get back to 43 and 33. They got off to a dismal start. Boston's 43 and 33. 10 games over 500. Second place in the American League East. They're 13 games out of first place on June 30th. I mean, that's tough. That's tough sledding. When you're talking about trying to catch the Yankees, you're 13 out, damn near well the midway point of the season, behind a Yankees team that just swept the A's out of New York. 56 and 20 for the Yankees now as we stand today. And now the Yankees get ready to go to Houston to take on the Astros in a replay of hopefully what we just watched over the last, we've got to see them play for four games against each other. Let's hope we get to see more of that. I was tweeting about it over the weekend and talking about it with others after the series was done. We could not be lucky enough to get the Yankees and Astros in the American League Championship Series. Could not be lucky enough. That's what you have to hope for. If you're a baseball fan, if you're Rob Manfred, Hope we get those two teams. So this is a makeup game in Houston. It's just one game between the Yankees and the Astros. They'll play that later today in Houston. And then the Astros get the aforementioned Angels. But it has to be very frustrating if you're a fan of the Angels, you know, baseball team, because you've got two of the greatest talents on the planet. One that can do it all, and the other that is one of the best offensive players in a generation when he's on the field and healthy. And unfortunately, it's just not a team that can put it together and hasn't been able to put it together for a number of years. All right. Finished it on a little bit of a down note on the baseball, but the Mark Appel story really is cool. If you get a chance, go and check out the highlights of his first appearance in the big leagues after grinding it out for 9 years, both in the minor leagues and just out of baseball altogether. When Kevin Durant bristled at a certain nickname that he earned while in Oklahoma City, I often wondered, you know, where it came from. And now I sort of revisited it in my mind last night, and I want to talk about it. I'll get to that coming up in just a minute. I'm Jason Page. Thanks for being with us. Don't mind me. If you haven't done so yet, hit the like button on anything you like. There is no dislike button as far as I know. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can do that as well. The Decibel 88 YouTube channel. And make sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you don't watch the show live, you get the opportunity to subscribe to the podcast. And then every day after the show's done, we go and put the show up in podcast form. So make sure to check that out. We're coming back on this Thursday. Stay with us. We welcome you back. Don't mind me on this Thursday, our final show of the week. I'm Jason Page. Good to have you with us. There's more to get to from the LIV Golf PGA Tour brouhaha. As you just watch on a daily basis the game being brought to its knees by these selfish PGA Tour defectors that have opted to go take blood money from the Saudi government. The LIV Golf event in Portland, Oregon gets started today. I was talking about this yesterday with somebody. We do a lot of sports interviews, obviously, and yeah, every week we get somebody on. You know who I'd like to talk to next week? And I got to see how I make it happen. I'd like to talk to the person, whoever's the spokesperson for the 9/11 families that are protesting today just a couple of miles from Pumpkin Ridge, where the event's being held in Portland, Oregon, the three-day LIV Golf event there. I would love to talk with somebody from one of those families, one of those 9/11 families, to sort of get inside what they're trying to do and what they hope to accomplish. I don't think they're going to be able to accomplish anything except to draw attention to these guys that have gone and decided to join LIV Golf. Anyway, I'll get to that coming up in a couple minutes. There was a ton of NBA news yesterday. Trades everywhere. Guys moving all over the place. Teams clearing cap space. I mean, there's just so much going on. Guys declining their options. James Harden declined his $47 million option, which is just an absurd number to think about. Bradley Beal declined his $36 million option. You already know about Kyrie Irving opting in, Westbrook opting in. And now you've got Kemba Walker finalizing his buyout with the Pistons. The Hawks made a big trade. The Knicks are clearing space for Jalen Brunson. I mean, there is so much going on right now as it relates to NBA player movement. Yeah, I mean, you're really going to have to pay attention. Otherwise, you're going to turn on the NBA on opening night and not have any idea where your favorite player is and how he got there. So the Hawks are trading Danilo Gallinari and three first-round picks to the Spurs for Dejounte Murray. The Hawks are sending a 2023 first-round pick via the Hornets plus their own 2025 and 2027 first-round picks to the Spurs in the deal. And it also includes a pick swap in 2026. So now you've got Murray in the backcourt with Trae Young. Good luck. That will be a formidable team to try and deal with. Patty Mills opted out of his deal. The hope is that the Nets will still be able to get him signed. He is an important piece to that puzzle. A guy that has just gotten better every year in this league. And then the bad news, hate to say it, can't get away from it. As we came on the air this morning, Hornets forward Miles Bridges was arrested in Los Angeles. Apparently this happened on Wednesday afternoon. LAPD confirming that to the Associated Press on Thursday. No details on the charges, but TMZ is on the case. I almost hesitate to report it because it is TMZ, and sometimes they get it wrong. More times than not, they get it right. But TMZ has reported that Bridges is facing felony domestic violence charges. Hey, Steve Clifford, welcome to Charlotte. Bridges was the Hornets' leading scorer last year, set to become a restricted free agent. There were thoughts he'd get a max contract in the coming weeks. Way to throw it away, bro. 24 years old, averaged 20-7 last year, playing with LaMelo Ball. And what do? You allegedly go and screw it up in a DV case. You see it all the time, guys throwing away their lives in various ways. So the Knicks appear to be all in on Jalen Brunson, the stud guard for the Dallas Mavericks. They traded Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks to the Pistons, and they did that to try and get Jalen Brunson. Now, we've seen this with the Knicks time and time again. God, it feels like for the last 15 years, the Knicks said, oh, we're going all in to get free agents, and then free agents never come and play for the Knicks. In fact, they'll go and play in Brooklyn before they play for the Knicks, which tells you what free agents around the league, what agents around the league think of the Knicks, because free agents don't go to the Knicks. They've wanted LeBron. They've wanted Kyrie. They can't get anybody to go play in New York for one of the most storied franchises in the NBA. Not because they win titles, but because it's New York. So the Knicks are reportedly going to make a contract offer to Jalen Brunson, according to ESPN. For $110 million. Mavericks could still keep him, though. Now, Jalen Brunson's dad, Rick Brunson, I think it's Rick Brunson, played for the Knicks back in the day. So there is the hope in New York that the Knicks may finally, at long last, get the point guard they need. Because they haven't had a good point guard in a while. And somebody young that can stay with this organization for years to come, not just, you know, a guy, not a Steve Nash or a Jason Kidd at the end of their career, but a Jalen Brunson at the age of 25 coming off his best season. Isn't that funny? Best season in his contract year. Huh, who would have thought? Brunson was part of that Mavericks team that I think was ahead of schedule and was able to get to the NBA Finals. Now, Mavericks governor Mark Cuban and GM Nico Harrison say that Brunson was their top offseason priority. But the reality is they can only offer him 4-year, $85 million. I know, only. Which is basically the deal that Fred Van Fleet signed with the Raptors in 2020. And if it's about the money, Brunson's going to New York. And I think that combined with the fact that his father played there is probably going to be enough to get this across the finish line for Leon Rose and the Knicks to be able to get a point guard they desperately need in New York. So tons going on right now in the NBA on the trade front and on the player movement front. But it's funny, I wanted to get into this Kevin Durant thing. Because remember back when he was playing in Oklahoma City and he earned the nickname Cupcake when he was there? And you start to scratch your head and you go, man, now it makes so much sense. Because on a day-in, day-out basis, all you see is Kevin Durant fighting with people on Twitter. And I want you to think about this. You're arguably one of the best players of your generation. You are one of the premier scorers in the NBA. You're an NBA champion. You're an MVP. And you're on Twitter fighting with not... And look, he's had his beefs with other players. He's had his beefs with analysts like Charles Barkley. But he gets into Twitter beefs with just your everyday average Joe. Contemplate that for a second. Marinate in that, as my old colleague Anita Marks used to say. Just kind of sit in that for a second. Arguably one of the best players of all time. And you're on Twitter fighting with some guy who probably sits in the cheap seats or lives in his parents' basement. And you're fighting about God knows what with these people. Why? And it goes to the idea that he's a cupcake. He's soft. He's thin-skinned. He cannot take criticism, whether warranted or not. This is who Kevin Durant is. And as an organization, as talented as he is and as much as you might love him, you have to own up to the fact that this is what Kevin Durant is at this stage of his career. This is who he is, for better or worse. That he has thin skin. He is soft mentally when it comes to dealing with criticism. I mean, my God, if I jostled and sparred with every person that came at me on Twitter, I'd have no time in the day left for anything else. Yet that's what Kevin Durant does. Every day, it's baked fresh. One last one on the NBA, and then we'll break and I'll get to the golf. Draymond Green recently said some things about Stephen Curry. And by the way, I have zero problem with what he said. Because people will try to make a big deal out of it and say he's banging on Stephen Curry. And when Draymond Green says something stupid, I'll be the first one to stand up and call it out. This was not stupid. What Draymond said about Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant, what Durant meant to the title team, in 2016 or 2017 or whatever it was, the 2017 and 2018 finals victories. What Draymond said was basically that Stephen Curry didn't realize how good he was yet. And the reason they won those titles was because Durant came in and was his, you know, amazing self, his amazing scoring self. And that was why the Warriors won those titles, because he didn't think Curry understood, this is Draymond's thinking, that Curry didn't understand just how good he was and that he could get his own shot anytime he wanted. And people are saying, whoa, he's banging on him. He really wasn't. I don't think that was Dre banging on Curry at all. Say what you want about Draymond Green, he ain't that dumb. But something that was said in the course of this conversation about Draymond Green was that he is as dedicated to his podcasting and media craft as he is his playing in the NBA. And again, for better or worse, they're married to Draymond Green. Doesn't look like they're getting rid of him anytime soon in Golden State. And why would you? I mean, he's part of a championship equation. There's no reason to, even though you could argue his contributions in this NBA final were not that amazing. But I think it's fascinating that we live in an era now where guys can make, you know, these $100 million contracts in playing the game, but then tell you, yeah, but I'm just as focused on my media career and podcasting and being on TV and all these different things. And as an organization, that would drive me nuts. If I were a GM, that would drive me crazy. And look, all the guys do it. You know, Stephen Curry's got his production company. LeBron's got his production company. All these guys have their outside ventures. And it makes you wonder, where does basketball rank in the overall scheme of things for these guys? Now, where does basketball rank to Draymond Green? Is his focus, is his attention there night in and night out? There's just no way it can be. You get spread too thin. I remember I used to live in New York, and I was hosting shows. This was both when I was with Sirius XM and then when I was with NBC Sports Radio. And I was hosting shows Monday through Friday, sometimes on the weekends too. And I also was trying to become a semi-professional poker player. So I was playing poker 3-4 days a week. And playing poker 3-4 days a week is like a full-time job. And it definitely hindered my ability to do what I do on the air. It's just, there's just not enough mental bandwidth to deal with it. And I don't think it was fair to NBC Sports Radio or Sirius XM at the time that I was probably not at my best because I was too focused on trying to also become a great poker player. And my point is, you can't spread yourself too thin. If you're focused on one thing, I mean, I'm doing, that's probably too long of a story to get into, so I won't get into it. But it's very challenging to try and have two full-time jobs. Being good on the air in media and radio and TV, it's a full-time job. Yeah, it comes natural to some, but it's work. And if you want to be an NBA player, be an NBA player. If you want to, in the off-season, do some stuff, that's great. But you've got guys now that are hosting podcasts weekly and doing all these different media obligations while they're in the midst of playing during the NBA season. And it's nuts to me that teams allow for this. But they do. Draymond's going to have a hell of a media career when he gets done as well, because he's good on the microphone, and he's much like Charles Barkley, not afraid to speak his mind. You know, at the time where Barkley and Shaq decide that they're not going to want to do this media thing anymore, there's going to be plenty of guys to fill that seat when they're done. But nobody could fill Ernie Johnson's seat. He's awesome. All right, I'll come back. We'll wrap it up with some LIV Golf. Any other odds and ends we got to tie up before the end of the week. Our final show of this week. If you have not done so yet, make sure to like us on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe to the Decibel 88 channel. Also, subscribe to the podcast, the Don't Mind Me podcast, courtesy of Believe, B-L-E-A-V. We love them over there. They do a great job. All your favorite sports podcasts can be found through Believe.com, B-L-E-A-V.com. I'm Jason Page. Stay with us. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. I'm Jason Page. This is Don't Mind Me, the podcast. Don't Mind Me on YouTube. We do the show live Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern. If you want to watch it live and I don't know. Maybe that sort of thing is appealing to you. Getting ready for the weekend. By the way, before I get to this LIV Golf thing, has anybody watched Man vs. Bee? If you have Netflix, not to do like commercials for Netflix, because God knows they don't need me to do that. If you get an opportunity, go and see on Netflix, Man vs. Bee. It's a short watch. It only takes probably 2 hours to get through the entire series. I think it's 9 episodes, and they're anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. It's just a number of shorts. But Rowan Atkinson stars in it. You know him from Mr. Bean. And it is laugh out loud funny. I will say, I spent the last 2 days watching it, and it was really funny. So if you got to stay in this weekend, maybe the weather sucks where you are, watch Man vs. Bee. It's quite funny. I don't think I'll ever talk to him again. Those are the words of Fred Couples, Golf Hall of Famer, former Masters winner, on his relationship and feelings towards Phil Mickelson after he left for the LIV Golf Tour. I don't think I'll ever talk to him again, Couples said. Couples was playing in an event out at Liberty National Golf Club. And it's some icon series event, team golf exhibition, former famous athletes from outside golf competing in a U.S. versus international format. Couples is the captain of the U.S. team. But Phil Mickelson, after going to LIV Golf, has lost a friend in Freddie Couples, who says, "I'm not in the same boat as him anymore, and I'll probably never play golf with him again. I'm not saying that to be mean. We're just in different orbits. I think this is a family thing for me," Couples said about LIV Golf. "I'm a little peon from Seattle, but I know where the money's coming from, and I think my family would disown me if I went. Of course, that's easy for me to say because I'm not going, so I can actually tell you whatever I want to tell you." These guys, you've seen their interviews, right? Couples said of the PGA Tour defectors. "Have you ever seen Phil look so stupid in his life? They know it's a joke." Wow. I imagine there's a lot of the guys that have decided to stay on the PGA Tour that likely feel the same way as Freddie Boom Boom. That feel the same way Couples feels right now. Patrick Cantlay could be the next to leave the PGA Tour in favor of LIV Golf. He's the 7th-ranked golfer in the world. And Patrick Cantlay would certainly be an eye-opener and something that would cause concern for the PGA Tour. But at this point, it just seems like, you know, if you're Jay Monahan and the powers that be at the PGA Tour, you've just got to hang on tight and see who's left when all this is said and done. Remember, it's only an 8-event series this year for LIV Golf. So if guys don't jump in soon, they're probably going to miss out on much of the season and these big prize purses and all of that. So you got to imagine at some point the bleeding stops, at least for the remainder of this year, but who knows? Last week at the Travelers Championship, Patrick Cantlay was asked about LIV Golf. Listen to his answer and you tell me what you think.
Dougie?
That was my question, if you would say something secondhand. I don't honestly don't know if anyone has ever asked you, so I thought I would. Have they made you an offer and do you have any interest in it?
My team handles all that kind of stuff, whether it be just any of the sponsors that I have or anything in that department. I haven't had any direct contact with them recently, so I really, you know, I don't have anything like that outstanding.
Okay. By the way, that's exactly what Freddie Couples is talking about in terms of looking stupid. I can see the video. You can't. But that's a guy that had no idea how to answer that question. I haven't had direct contact. My agents and my representatives handle it. That means there's been conversations going on behind the scenes. I just can't wait to see what happens if and when LIV Golf and the Saudis decide, yeah, you know what, we don't want to do this anymore. Bye. Where are these guys going to go with their tail between their legs back to the PGA Tour? Now what was the European Tour? I forget what the actual name for it is now. They've actually said that other than the British Open this year, the PGA Tour defectors, the Lee Westwoods of the world, the Fleetwoods, the Henrik Stensons, these guys that play on the European Tour, they've also been told, yeah, you're not welcome on the European Tour either. And now you've got the PGA Tour and European Tour now more in cahoots with each other. And you're basically in a situation now where it appears that these guys aren't going to have anywhere to go except LIV Golf. There's a guy named Secret Tour Pro on Twitter, and nobody knows who this person is. It's an anonymous account. And so far, everybody that he has hinted at or directly said is leaving for LIV Golf, so far, every single one of them have left for LIV Golf. And Secret Tour Pro tweeted, the STP has been contacted by several well-informed and trusted sources who have said that a current top 10 player will make the jump to LIV in the coming weeks. STP knows who it is, but is unable to name the player at this time. More to follow. And everybody believes that it is Patrick Cantlay that will be taking off for the LIV Tour. So stay tuned. As Rachel Maddow would say, watch this space. One more thing. LIV Golf, there had been some reports that LIV Golf was paying out winnings in tournaments to players out of their signing bonuses. LIV says that is not the case. Players were asked about it this week in Portland, Oregon. They didn't know how to answer it. And LIV Golf has jumped up and said, no. They're getting their signing bonuses and they're getting their payouts after the tournament. Let me finish with this. The one thing Saudi Arabia was seeking to do when it launched this initiative to challenge the PGA Tour with the LIV Golf Series, their biggest aim was in bringing positive attention, positive PR to a country that desperately needed it in the wake of various things that have upset the world, whether it's Jamal Khashoggi, whether it's the 9/11 hijackers that flew planes into buildings and killed thousands of people, whether it's the way they treat women in Saudi Arabia, you name it, any number of things. The goal was to bring positive light to Saudi Arabia and Mohammed bin Salman. At the end of the day, you have to wonder if they're sort of scratching their head there and saying, man, maybe we went about this all wrong. Maybe the way to bring about a change in attitudes towards our government and our people is to actually make changes in the way we treat people, whether it's women, whether it's gays, LGBTQ community, whatever. Maybe the way to bring about change isn't to try and buy our way into the golf world. And the one thing they wanted most was positive attention from this. They've gotten the attention part, but all the attention has been negative. There hasn't been a positive thing to come out of this for them yet. And again, how long can that be sustained before the Saudi regime says, you know what, this just wasn't the way to go? There's no way they could be in this for the long haul. I just don't see it. I don't see any plan beyond what they're currently doing that would indicate to me that they're in this for the long haul. But we'll see. That's how we wrap up this Thursday edition. This week of Don't Mind Me, the podcast courtesy of Believe. Thanks for watching us on YouTube if you did so. We're back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend wherever you are. It's July already. July. I'm Jason Page. We'll catch you back here on Monday. See ya.